Well, good afternoon. It's good to be here with you all. We were talking earlier. We were able to escape some of the bad weather from last week, so that's good. I hope you guys, I don't think you guys got it here, but do have some definite things going on, and it's interesting that Mr. Caping gives a sermon about good and that we will see that only in the world tomorrow, which is certainly a time that we look forward to. But we do know that we still face struggles now and have a lot to work on and a lot to work through. You think about the Shrewsburys, and I think about that with my own kids, and such an evil and hard and sad world that we live in. And it ties in, actually, with the message that I want to give, because last time we talked about Jeremiah and just how interesting I thought Jeremiah 2 was and learning from that. But today I want to give you guys a hopefully very encouraging and uplifting message about how we can strengthen ourselves, how we can have that right foundation, and how we can persevere and push through. And so that's why I think it ties in very well with Mr. Caping's sermonette, because of right now we live in a world that is tough and that is full of evil and that is hard, but we have to persevere and push through. And what brought this message to mind was from last year when I was at camp. I'm sure Mrs. Burke has seen this tree that I will show you here in just a minute. But there's a tree at Camp Colorado that we always walk by as a group. Have you been to? Okay. And it's a very odd looking tree. And it really got me thinking as I was looking at it, what must have happened to that tree? So I want to show it to you really quick here. But it's a very odd looking tree. And when you see it, I thought it must have been one cataclysmic event. Lightning must have struck it and caused it to be deformed as it is. I thought that had to be it. And so you can see that it's just twisted and mangled. And I personally thought, okay, it must have been hit by lightning and that caused it to be deformed. And it got me thinking about, that's how I feel sometimes, that I've been struck by lightning, I've been struck down, I've been hit hard, and I'm sure that all of us feel this way. We face a trial. It doesn't matter what magnitude it is. It seems tough to us. But that wasn't what caused that tree to grow that way. Because a lot of times, maybe we don't face a very impacting, meaningful event. But we face a lot of small things that just continue to wear on us over time. That is exactly what happened to this tree. That was caused by wind. Over time, the wind continued to blow that tree. But what I absolutely love about this picture and about that tree is its resiliency. It never gave up. It kept reaching up. It continued upward. And when you look at the tree, the picture where we took it from, I was standing a little bit behind it. The tree is continually going up, reaching towards the light. I looked at that as reaching towards the light of God, reaching up, continuing, getting beat down, getting blown, getting pushed, getting pulled one way or another, but continuing to reach up towards God. Joshua 1 and verse 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. We'll read just the first part of that. Joshua 1 and verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage?" Be strong and of good courage. I read that and I think, well, okay. That's almost like saying, be holy. Just do it. You know, just be holy. Just be of good courage. It seems simple to do. But like this tree, over time we can tend to get blown all different ways. We tend to lose steam.
We tend to get beat down, sometimes completely at times, sometimes wanting to just give up. Our lives change. We change. Things around us change. People pass on. New lives are born. All kinds of things, good and bad. We face trials and challenges, and our life is hard. And Satan is relentless in his attempt to get us off track and keep us off track. To keep us focused on the pain we may feel every day in our backs or our legs or our hearts or our minds. But like this tree that is still alive, that is still reaching for God's light, we too can still pursue and seek God's guidance in everything that we do. As I said, that scripture seems almost a little unrealistic to me. Just be strong and be of good courage. But if you read on, that's the key. Because it says, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I was talking, I don't know if many of you know Marcus Skaggs or Neil Reed. They attend in Dallas. They're actually in the Durant congregation where we meet every other Sabbath there. And they had two very interesting facts, ideas, traits of trees that I did not know. Mr. Skaggs talked about there are certain trees that as a lumberjack works through a forest, he will cut down the weak trees around a certain tree so that it can continue to be strong and grow. And I thought, that is very interesting. The reason that they do that is because the wind blows the tree and allows it to get stronger. I think of our way of life. Why are we here? Why am I here? Why are each of you here? I don't know. But there's people around us that face trials, that don't have God's calling, that don't have God's way of life. And I think about that. I think, okay, I am here and I'm able to grow, and God is strengthening me for something, for some purpose, as each one of us has that opportunity. Neil Reed added that certain trees can only get stronger by being blown severely in the wind. That's actually how their roots get stronger in the ground. They continue to grow deeper. So that's what I want to talk about today, is our godly foundation. What is it? What is it built on? Because it's critical. Because the winds of Satan and trials and life will blow all the time, every day, nonstop. I'm not that old. I'm 42. But I still wake up some mornings and I get out of bed and I kind of push myself out and I'm like, oh, did I sleep wrong or what is going on? I just want to get back into bed. It's warm. I feel better in bed. I don't want to get up. I don't want to face Dallas traffic. Whatever the case may be, I had a herniated disc for a while. I'm in pretty good shape. I'm not overweight. I eat pretty decently. I did have donuts this morning, but I think those are okay. They're okay according to my diet. But I still face those trials every day. And some are worse than others. I get that. I understand. Some people are severely tested, like the Shrewsburys. I've not faced something like that. I've lost my father. I've lost grandparents and uncles and, just different things like that. But I've never faced a challenge like that. But I have faced things that are hard for me. I want to read you a great story. You might perhaps recall this story. It's the story of a blacksmith who gave his heart to God. Though conscientious in his living, still he was not prospering materially. In fact, it seems that from the time of his conversion, more trouble, affliction, and loss were sustained than even before. Everything seemed to be going wrong for him. One day a friend who was not a Christian stopped at the little gorge to talk to him where he worked. Sympathizing with him in some of the trials he was facing, the friend said, "You know, it seems strange to me that so much affliction should pass over you just at the time when you became an earnest Christian. Of course, I don't want to weaken your faith in God or anything like that, but here you are, God's help and God's guidance and asking for it, and yet it seems that things are getting steadily worse for you. I can't help but wonder why. Why is that?" The blacksmith did not answer immediately, and it was evident that he had thought the same question, as I'm sure that we have. I have. But finally he said, "You see here the raw iron which I have to make this horse's shoe from? You know what I do with it? I take a piece, and I heat it in the fire until it's red, almost white with heat. And then I hammer it unmercifully to shape it, as I know that it should be shaped. And then I plunge it into a pail of cold water to temper it. And then I heat it back up, and I hammer it some more. And this I do until it is finished. But sometimes I find a piece of iron that won't stand up under this treatment. The heat and the hammering and the cold water are too much for it. I don't know why. I don't know why it fails in this process. But I know it will never make a good horse's shoe." He pointed to a heap of scrap iron that was near to the doorstep of his shop. "When I get a piece that I cannot take and make into the shape and be able to temper it, I throw it out on the scrap heap there. It will never be good for anything." He went on, "I know that God has been holding me in the fires of affliction, and I have felt his hammer upon me. But I don't mind, if only he can bring me to what I should be. And so in all these hard things, my prayer is simply this. Try me in any way you wish, Lord, only don't throw me on the scrap heap." I love that message, because the only way that we can make it through the fires that we face on a daily basis is by allowing God to be our foundation. We have to be rooted in God's word. We have to be strong in that foundation. We have to have a root system like this tree that never gives up, that never falters. Yes, we fail, but we never quit. That's exactly what that tree did. It took that wind. It blew left, right, east, west, north, south, whatever way as it was blowing. And it kept reaching up. As we read in Joshua, the first chapter there, verse 9, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. How do we know we will be able to stand strong when those trials come? And how can we make it when the wind blows? Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 8. And that story was by Linnell Waterman. I love that story. Jeremiah 17 and verse 8. "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." So we have to be like that tree planted by the riverside. If you want points, I have two today. And the first one is, we must have a solid root structure, a solid foundation. We absolutely must. If you build a house, you don't build it on a weak foundation. If God is building kings and priests in us, he doesn't want us to have weak foundations. He doesn't want us to be moving to and fro. He wants us to be strong. We have to be like that tree planted by the riverside with roots that reach deep into the water, deep into the earth. The key to anything that you build or that grows is its foundation. Think about the story of the sower of, the parable of the sower and casting seed on some rocky ground and on some shallow ground. No foundation without a good, strong root structure, nothing will grow. We must have God's Word and His Holy Spirit, or we will be blown to and fro. Vegetables, children, trees, whatever it is, they all have to have a good foundation, just like us. I was thinking about kids the other day because I was my wife went out with a couple of friends from the Dallas congregation, and they decided to go have a little bit of a getaway. I don't know why my wife wants to get away from five kids. But she did, and it was great for her. And I was just thinking, because Samuel was out front, and Avery was out front, and Thomas and Katie and I, and Samuel's laying in the driveway. He's got his hands behind his head, and he's looking up at the sky, and he's watching the clouds go by. And I think, I don't do that anymore. I don't enjoy those things. So I did. He goes, "Dad, come here. Come lay with me." So I go and I lay down and I just watch the clouds blowing by. And I think about the beauty and just the peacefulness and the happiness and the simplistic things that make kids happy. And I think I want them to have a good, solid foundation, to grow up, to be happy, healthy adults. Will they face trials? Sure they will. But having a good, solid structure, a good root system, they can overcome anything. And another thing, too, that I think about is that it doesn't matter where you're at in life. It doesn't matter how long we've struggled with something. If we've got that structure there that we can build on, you look at a structural engineer. They go around a building and they look for hairline cracks, because those hairline cracks can become severe and crumble a building. But if we go around our lives and look for those hairline cracks, it doesn't matter if we're 20 or 30 or 50 or 70 or 80, however old, we can patch those cracks with God's Word, with the love of each one of us in this congregation. Turn with me to Luke 6 and verse 48. Luke 6 and verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. It was founded on the rock. You see, we always have the opportunity to change. We want to build that strong foundation, but sometimes maybe we don't have it, and we're learning. That's where we start something new, and we start to strengthen it. Think of it as a new root, a new shoot, coming out of that plant, coming out of us, shooting into the ground and turning that part of our lives over to God to then strengthen us and build us back up. Because none of us are perfect, but it's never too late to try. You see, trees inherently are able to grow deep root structures, but they have to have a good source of water and good soil. This is our water, and this is our soil. And this is our water and soil, each other, helping, picking each other up. We're the same way. We have to have God's Word and His Holy Spirit, or we will be blown to and fro. It's very easy to give up. I've been in God's church for 42 years, and sometimes I think, man, this is hard. I don't know what would be easier. Maybe just giving up completely. But it's hard. On top of, you see all the confusion in the world, in government, in school systems, in the world. It doesn't matter. It's not just the United States. You see the threats and all of those things, but yet the world doesn't have the foundation that we do. They don't have access to God's word. Not everyone. Not right now. And that's something that we have to remember. 1 Corinthians 3. I made a note here that most surface issues are due to issues with the foundation. That's why it's critical that our foundation, our root structure, be built on the right things, on a solid foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 13. I turned there, but I actually want to read it out of the English Standard Version. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one of us has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We have to remember that all the time. I think that's easy to forget. We wake up, we face a trial, we don't feel good, something's wrong. Maybe it's a struggle we've been going through for years. But we are God's temple, and God's Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. This time of year really, really causes us to focus on Christ's sacrifice, on what God did for us, and what Christ went through for us. And those are things that I like to focus on and think about and actually probably feel bad about because I'm like, I'm complaining about this or that or the other, and I have so many opportunities. But what happens when the foundation of a home is cracked? When the foundation of a house, we were talking about basements earlier. When the foundation is cracked, water seeps in. When our foundation is cracked, Satan can seep in. If left unfixed, it will eventually lead to the house completely falling down. We saw some old dilapidated houses on the way out here. Part of it was still standing, but part of it wasn't. As I said, a structural engineer, they look for the hairline cracks that can become worse and worse over time. Because it's not usually these big glaring issues. My mom had water leaking in her basement. I remember one time they were out of town because it's a pretty old house. It was built in the 50s. And I was still living at home. I was in my early 20s. And they were out of town and we were getting some really bad rain. So they called, hey, you need to go downstairs and make sure right underneath where the main sewer line came in, make sure that's not leaking. Okay. So I go down there. And of course, it's leaking. It looked like someone had turned a faucet on. It was just coming in and just dribbling all down the wall. And I have no patience. I've gotten better over time. But I'm like calling them back. We didn't have cell phones. So I call the hotel that they're staying at. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? There's water coming in everywhere. My dad's like, oh, over on the left there's some patch stuff. You've got to make it. So I'm mixing it, and I have no idea. I'm not handy like my son is. I can't make things. So now I've got this just sludge. It looks like mud, and I'm putting it up on the wall, but it's coming in so fast, it's just running off. And so I'm just like, just putting it, patching it up there. But it made me think years later, that still sticks in my head, of how that is how I am, that I'm continually trying to fix all these problems, and everything keeps seeping back in. And I think, why am I not changing? Why am I still struggling? Why am I still hurting? Why am I still in this trial? It's because there's evil. We're not in the world tomorrow. There are still struggles. And that's how God tests us. He holds us to the fire that way. He wants to see what we will do. Will we give up? Will we quit? Will I just throw that stuff down and say, forget it? He's got to know that. He's got to know where our heart is. Where is that foundation? What is it built on? What will we turn to? Mr. Armstrong used to say, stay close to the trunk of the tree. I get that now more as I'm older. We've got to stay close to this trunk of the tree, to each other. We're all different. We may not all get along. We may see things in each other that we're like, yeah, that person's weird. But they see the same thing in us. But what we have to see is that one common desire, that one common element, and that is God's way of life. And it is love and kindness and peace that we all have to seek together. John 14, verse 1. John 14. It's very simple. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can write down 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. We'll turn there. 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Chosen by God and precious. You can also tie that in with Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Because it parallels. Christ was coming and he was going to be the foundation, and he is the foundation. And we have access to that, to allow that to be the foundation that we use, that we are built upon. Verse 6 there in 1 Peter says, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. We are to stand on him, to trust in him, to rely on him in everything that we do. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. You can just write that one down. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. When we face the trials that we face, we have to pray without ceasing. We have to pray without ceasing. That's how our foundation keeps from cracking, or those cracks are filled in. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We have to be strong because sometimes people try to lead you astray. Whether it's young people and you're at school, and someone says, it's not a big deal. Just do it. Who cares? Who really cares? You have to be able to say, God cares. And I've got a much higher purpose than what I'm doing right here. I'm worth more. I'm valuable to God. I've got a stronger foundation. I'm not going to let these hairline cracks be the doom of me. I'm going to rise above it. I'm going to step out. I'm going to trust and I'm going to pray without ceasing. Trust without ceasing. We don't understand sometimes why we face the things we face, why we have the trials that we have. I don't understand why this little girl has cancer, or why the baker's daughter has cancer, or Jordan Sweat's going through what she's going through. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't pretend to ever know those answers. But I know God has them. And I know that if I want to stay strong and not allow others' trials to sway me, to cause me to think, is God really there? Is he really listening? You young people, when you're in school, you'll face struggles. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. I saw a story about a kindergartner who was suspended from school for playing with a stick as a gun. She doesn't understand. She doesn't get it. But that can cause you to be bitter towards school, towards teachers, towards people, towards life. We've got to pray without ceasing. We've got to have that foundation so that it is so strong, so that it is so rooted in God's word that nothing can stray us off of God's path. Nothing can survive without a solid root structure or a solid foundation. That includes us. That tree can't, vegetables, whatever it is. Nothing. A house, it doesn't matter what it is. It cannot survive. If we plan to weather the storms that life will bring us, the trials, the winds, we have to be close to God. And we have to make it our mission to study His Word without ceasing. To pray. To never give up. To draw near to God. And to let Him draw near to us, as James said in James 4, verse 8. Our foundation, our root structure, it's critical. The next point is, we must have determination with perseverance. We must have determination with perseverance. The determination definition is firmness of purpose, resoluteness. There is a difference between determination and perseverance, because the definition of perseverance is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Is that not our calling? We see it, and it's like we're a little bit closer every day. We're climbing a mountain that has no top. It's all uphill. But it's worthwhile. Everything worthwhile is uphill. I think I've said that before. Everything worthwhile is uphill, and you cannot go uphill with downhill habits. We've got to have perseverance and determination. Determination that does not quit. Perseverance that pushes us through, knowing that there are struggles and trials. We must be determined with strong perseverance that we are going to live God's way of life, that we will count on Him in times of need, not ourselves. Mario Andretti, famous race car driver, he said, "Desire is the key to motivation, but it's determination and commitment to an unrelenting pursuit of your goal, a commitment to excellence that will enable you to attain the success you seek." That defines our calling perfectly. We have an unrelenting pursuit of God's kingdom. Unrelenting. We don't give up for anything. Nothing holds us back. A commitment to excellence. I talk about that with my team at work all the time. They're always like, "Man, we're always trying to do more and more and more." And I'm like, "Why stop? If we're good, let's get better. Raise the bar. Continually push. Keep pushing out those things that you don't like about yourself. Ask God to show you, what can I change?" I gave a sermonette once about spiritual blind spots. I can look outside and see something there, but sometimes I miss a car in my blind spot. I know that I struggle with my temper. I know that I struggle with patience. I know. But what is it that I don't know? That's the things that we have to be careful of. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 7. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 7. "But you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." There are so many scriptures. I've never read the Bible all the way through. I've read a lot of it, and then I start to get to those sections where it's like, "And he begot him, and he begat them, and they begat," and I'm like, "Yeah, forget it, I'll move on." I've never read it all the way through. 42 years old, I've read a lot of it, but I highly recommend we read it. I don't know if, you don't have to show your hands. But I had not read that scripture. I always looked at Chronicles as kind of, it's just a chronicle of time. There's not a lot in there, I bet. But all scripture is given with divine inspiration from God and an important part of it. And I see that scripture as I'm reading through, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Nothing can survive without a solid root structure. We have to remember that. And then we look at a verse like that. You be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. But it can't be rewarded if the structure and the foundation aren't there. One of the greatest examples that I like to look at from a historical perspective, there's many that we'll talk about in the Bible, but I like Abraham Lincoln. I look forward to meeting him one day. I've read a book by Dale Carnegie, actually, called Lincoln the Unknown. I had to buy it off. It was pretty expensive. I mean, pretty expensive to me, $32. That's probably not that much. I don't know. But I like to buy books really cheap at Books a Million and places like that. Well, I couldn't find this book anywhere because it was very hard to get a hold of. I had to buy it off of somebody on eBay or Amazon. And it talked about his life. I don't know how many of you have done a pretty deep study, but he led a pretty miserable life. After his wife or fiance died, he was miserable. He didn't want to be alive. But he kept pushing, and he ended up marrying Mary Todd, who was pretty cuckoo. But I always liked his example because he believed in God, and he persevered, and he pushed on. If you want to learn about somebody who didn't quit, look no further. He was born into poverty. He faced defeat throughout his life. He lost 8 elections. He twice failed in business, and he suffered a nervous breakdown. And he could have quit many times, but he didn't. You know, Jesus could have quit as well. He said, "Let this cup pass from me." He had the potential to fail, but he was determined and he had a much higher purpose. And he stuck with it. Abraham Lincoln stuck with it as well, and he became one of the greatest presidents in the history of our country. Listen to these. 1816, his family was forced out of their home. He had to work to support them. 1818, his mother died. 1831, failed in business. 1832, ran for state legislature and lost. 1832, lost his job. Wanted to go to law school, but couldn't get in. 1833, borrowed some money from a friend to begin a business, and by the end of the year, he was bankrupt. He spent the next 17 years of his life paying off that debt. 1834, he ran for state legislature. He won that one. 1835, he was engaged to be married, and his sweetheart died, and his heart was broken. 1836, had a total nervous breakdown, and was in bed for 6 months. 1838, he sought to become Speaker of the State Legislature, defeated. 1840, sought to become Elector, defeated. 1843, ran for Congress, lost. 1846, ran for Congress again, this time he won, went to Washington, and he did a pretty good job. And then in 1848, he ran for re-election, and he lost. 1849, rejected. 1854, lost. 1856, lost. 1858, he ran for U.S. Senate, lost. 1860, he was elected United States President. That's perseverance. And to me, I think God wanted him in place. I really do. Psalm 119, verse 10. Well, for the sake of time, we'll just write it down. But Psalm 119, verse 10, we must be determined in our effort. We'll look there really quick. I can move fast. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. We must be resolute. With our whole heart, we have to seek after God, after his way of life, after the kingdom. Sometimes I look at people in the Bible and I think, well, yeah, but those are people in the Bible. And I'm not that good. I'm not Daniel. I'm not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm not David. I'm not Joseph. I'm not Joshua. Any number of them. Well, I can be. And you can as well. That's why I like to read historical characters as well. But this is the ultimate historical book for us. Daniel was determined to do the right thing. You can read about that in Daniel 1 and verse 8. I just mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were determined to do what was right. They didn't cower in the face of trial or adversity. Instead, they stood strong. They leaned on their foundation. on God. Psalms 44 and verse 18. Psalms 44 and verse 18. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. I want to be able to stand before Christ one day and say that. My heart did not turn back, and I did not turn away from you. I pushed on. I never gave up. I never turned from your path. Sometimes we face those trials, though, that are hard. You can write down Psalms 27 and verse 14. Sometimes we have to wait on God with determination and perseverance, knowing I'm not giving up. No matter what Satan throws at me, I'm not quitting. Nelson Mandela said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." Anything in life that you've never done before seems challenging until you do it. We have to be determined to wait on God. And he will guide us. He will give us the answers. He will lift us up in time of need. But we have to persevere through our trials. Here's another true story for you. The little country schoolhouse was heated by an old-fashioned pot-bellied coal stove. A little boy had the job of coming to school early each day to start the fire and to warm the room before his teacher and classmates arrived. You children, listen to this. This is awesome because this is a young man. One morning they arrived to find the schoolhouse engulfed in flames. They dragged the unconscious little boy out of the flames, they dragged the little boy out of the flaming building more than dead than alive. He had major burns over the lower half of his body and was taken to a nearby country hospital. From his bed, the dreadfully burned, semi-conscious little boy faintly heard the doctor talking to his mother, and the doctor told him that her son would surely die. Which was for the best, really, for the terrible fire had devastated the lower part of his little body. But the brave boy didn't want to die. He made up his mind that he would survive. And somehow, to the amazement of the physician, he did survive. And when the mortal danger was past, he heard again the doctor and his mother speaking quietly. And the mother was told that since the fire destroyed so much flesh in the lower part of his body, it would be almost better if he had died, since he was doomed to a lifetime cripple with no use of his lower limbs. Once more, the brave boy made up his mind. He would not be crippled. He would walk. But unfortunately, from the waist down, he had no motor ability. His thin legs just dangled there, all but lifeless. Ultimately, he was released from the hospital. And every day, his mother would massage his little legs. But there was no feeling. There was no control. There was nothing. Yet his determination that he would walk was stronger than ever. When he wasn't in bed, he was confined to a wheelchair. One sunny day, his mother wheeled him out to the yard to get some fresh air. This day, instead of sitting there, he threw himself from the chair, and he pulled himself across the grass, dragging his limp legs behind him. He worked his way to the white picket fence bordering their lot, and with great effort, he raised himself up on the fence. Then, stake by stake, he began dragging himself along the fence, resolved that he would walk. He started to do this every day until he wore a path all around the yard inside the fence. There was nothing he wanted more than develop life in those legs. Ultimately, through his daily massages, his iron persistence, and his resolute determination, he did develop the ability to stand up, then to walk haltingly, then to walk by himself, and then to run. He began to walk to school, then to run to school, then to run for the sheer enjoyment of running. Later in college, he made the track team. Still later, in Madison Square Garden, it always gets me. There's another one I'm going to read that gets me as well, but who cares? It's fun. Still later, in Madison Square Garden, the young man who was not expected to survive, who would surely never walk, who could never even hope to run. This determined young man, Dr. Glenn Cunningham, he ran the world's fastest mile. That is sheer determination. That story was by Bert Dubin. On June 16th, 1934, Glenn Cunningham ran the mile in 4:06. That is fast. I don't know if you've ever run. I did a 454 mile, and it seemed like I was flat out just sailing along. I mean, it was absolute, to me, the fastest that I could run. And he did it in 406. And I didn't come from any of those kind of struggles. Breaking the world's record, he also became an Olympic runner. His effort portrays that whatever you want to create in your life is yours for the making. Whatever we want. And we have God's Holy Spirit. Think about how unstoppable we are. As long as we desire it enough and allow our will and God to guide us, we can have and be and do whatever our heart desires. The only one that can put limits on us, on our personal drive and our personal growth, is us. We either let Satan win or we overcome with God. Because God never limits us. He only inspires, encourages, and delivers. Are you determined? Are you resolute in your calling? Will you overcome what God has laid before you? We have been called to something great, but it takes great determination to succeed. What is it in your life that is holding you back? What is it that is keeping you from becoming what God wants? I beg you to not lose that determination, the determination to live God's way of life. 1 Corinthians 9. And verse 24. I think we read part of this, but I want to read it again. First Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You see, Mr. Cunningham, he was running for a world record. We are running for an imperishable crown, something that we can't even imagine. Therefore, run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Sometimes we face battles and we face trials and we want to give up. I want to read you this story that just kind of helps us think about, again, our lives and how sometimes what we think is bad, someone may have worse. Les Brown in his early days was an outstanding radio jockey, and his program had an inspirational piece where people would call in and they would place song requests or share inspirational stories. And one of his regular callers, a lady named Audrey, she was a lady whose voice was filled with hope and dreams and laughter, the kind we all love to hang around with. And then one day, that regular caller, or another regular caller, Shirley, she called, and after placing her request, she ended the call by saying, "I'll be seeing you." And Les knew that something wasn't right, so he inquired repeatedly with her and found out that Shirley had been diagnosed with breast cancer, with only a 60-40 chance of survival. And this incident had caused her husband to distance himself from her, and it was evident that she had chosen to end it swiftly. She just didn't want to fight. Les tried to convince her otherwise, but all his efforts were failing, and they were falling on deaf ears. Then out of nowhere, he said, "Can you postpone one more day? Just one more day, please." And she was silent, and then after a long pause, she asked, "Why? Why tomorrow?" He said, "Because I want to introduce you to someone. I want to introduce you to Audrey." He said, "You know, the caller I talk about regularly, the one filled with life." She said, "Okay, I like her. I'll meet you tomorrow." So Les gave her the address, and she wrote it down, and then that night, it was very hard on him. Many times he thought of calling Shirley just to check in and see if she was okay, to see if she would really keep her end of the deal. The next morning, Les waited for Shirley in front of the city nursing home. There was a nervousness in his walk. All sort of gray thoughts clouded his mind. "Hi, Les," said a soft voice. He turned, and there stood Shirley, her eyes worn, as if she had been as if the very life, the very hope and dreams that she had were just sucked right out of her. He led her into the nursing home. After finishing their formalities, they entered a room, and there in the corner, surrounded by all sorts of medical gadgets, lay a lump of twisted and malformed body. Shirley couldn't understand what was Les's intent to bring her here. But before she could speak, he said, "Shirley, I give to you Audrey." Shirley's eyes grew wide. Somehow she couldn't fathom the words that Les just uttered. How could that be Audrey? She thought. How could a voice filled with giggles and so full of life and dreams be contained in a body that lay in front of her eyes? Realizing her state of mind, Les explained that Audrey had been diagnosed with muscular sclerosis while in her mid-30s, and her condition had deteriorated to a point that she had to be admitted and be taken care of by professional nurses. She couldn't move her limbs. She couldn't walk. Her hearing and eyesight had deteriorated significantly. In fact, there was none of her bodily functions that she could carry out on her own without assistance. She had been in this state for 17 years, unable to see her children grow, unable to cherish a love-filled life with her husband and children. But what she had was ever more important. She had the attitude of gratitude towards her life. Every day she would ask the staff to play the radio show and request them to put the phone close to her mouth, so that she could speak into it and so that she could speak in a tone which was just barely a whisper. Les strode down to Audrey, and in a booming voice he said, "Hiya, Audrey." I don't know if anybody ever heard Les Brown. Man, he's a powerful speaker. He said, "Hiya, Audrey. It's Les. I've got my good friend of mine, Shirley, here. How are you? How are you doing?" She slowly looked up and strained to see where the voice range rang from. And then, with a faint smile, she said, "Les, I'm better than good. I'm better than most." Shirley's tears would not stop. She held Audrey's hand and just said, "Thank you." They didn't stay long, but one thing for sure was, Shirley made a decision. She will live life. She will live. And she will give a fighting chance. That's what we have to do. We have to give a fighting chance. We have to believe. We have to push on. Maybe we are beaten down. Maybe we are like that tree. Maybe the wind has pushed us and blown us and torn us and ripped us and caused us to struggle. Maybe so. But we still have to push on. If we look for the good at the bad, if we look for the positive in the negative situation, we can push on. Because we have the Almighty God behind us. And we have a strong foundation that no matter what, we can't be shaken if we just leave it in God's hands. We have to remember at all times that Christ gave his very life for each one of us. Not anyone else, but each one of us. And I mean that as God gave his son for all. But he gave his son for you and for me as well. We know it could always be worse, but that it's better with God. We must never give up. That tree, it is determined. And that's what we have to be, no matter how hard that wind blows. With determination and with perseverance, we might say, "I can do this. I can push on." Calvin Coolidge said, "Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent." That is unlimited power. That's what we have through God. You can write down Philippians 4 verse 13. 4 verse 13. The tree in this picture, it didn't get twisted and mangled by one single event. Lightning didn't strike it. It didn't cause it to look like that. It was wind over time, blowing and blowing and blowing. But that tree never gave up. It had a solid foundation to build on. It was determined. It persevered. Who would have thought we could learn so much from a little tree? But someday, when we stand before Christ, who would have thought that others could learn from us? And that's what we're working towards. It's striving upward. It's reaching up towards the light. Stay close to the trunk of the tree. If you put in a little, you will get a little out. But if you put in a lot, you will get a lot out. Our big dream to get more out of life, to be a part of God's kingdom, that's got to be our focus. We've got to want to become what God wants us to become, to exceed any expectation we ever set for ourselves. We can't see our own boundaries or our own potential, but God can. Have the determination to never give up, to never quit, to persevere through any and every trial, counting it a blessing. Because remember, you also cannot do this alone. Work with God until one day you can say the same as Timothy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, verse 4. We'll close. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Second Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.